from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me
amen, folks. It is Friday night or Friday evening or Saturday morning, depending on what part of the world that you're in. But anyway, to me, it's Friday night. I stand before you with a message so everyone gives me an amen so I know the mic check is working. If you don't type nothing, you make me a little nervous. So is everybody here with me? All right, there we go. I know this thing is working now. So anyway, I'm glad that you're here, folks. You know, it is, to me, wonderful, you know, to see you showing up, because me and another pastor friend of mine were talking this morning. And we was kind of throwing the idea around, you know, so few people showing up, and we're kind of asking the question, is it worth it to keep pushing forward? Is it worth it for those few? Should we just consider maybe shutting it down? You know, I mean, because it just seems like people are not interested in showing up for evening services and whatnot. And I feel sorry for Lisa. I know she's kind of wrestled with that same decision like I had to do with the chat room. I had to wrestle with that too to decide whether should I shut it down. Even though Toby was showing up and Skies was showing up, it was just them two and occasionally y'all would show up. But it's just like everybody just kind of quit and lost interest in that. So, you know, and I had to wrestle with that. I don't know how you want to call it. I've been kind of using the word monkey, but I had to wrestle with that. And I really had to pray on that. And it was hard, you know, it really was. But I had no choice to go ahead and shut it down. And this is why I was asking my friend this morning, you know, should we just shut it down or should we just keep trying to press forward? And I started thinking about, you know, what the Lord was saying. I can't remember exactly what chapter it was in, but it was saying something about remaining faithful, being faithful. And I also was reminded how he left the 99 to went after the one. You know, and when you start thinking and reflecting on many things, you know, a lot of times it's about remaining faithful to the Lord. So, you know, we're going to keep pressing forward on Sundays. And to you, just showing up here on Fridays, you know, if I don't get sidetracked or something in real life, whatever, I'm going to keep trying to keep going with this on Fridays. You know, at least y'all are showing interest. You're showing up. So at least we're going to keep pressing forward on this. So when I was presenting the message to you last Friday, I was thinking about another message ahead of time. And you know me, folks. You know, I'm not the type to kind of, let's say, mislead you and say, hey, everything's hunky-dory and everything is going good and everything is right. You know, I'm not that type of person. I like being honest with myself. And some ministers in the past has told me, Jim, you can't be that way because you got to lead. You got to show the people how strong you are. You got to show the people what kind of courage you have. You got to show the people everything's all right. Well, I disagree with that because, you know, a lot of times with me, it's not all right. I have hard times. I have difficult times. And if I can't be honest with you and be human and show you that I'm also hurting, that I'm having problems or trials and tribulations or whatever. I mean, if I got to stand here before you and paint a picture or everything is hunky-dory, then I'm not being really me. So I am what I am, me. So when I was thinking about this message, you know, and I told y'all several times in the past and in the past few months, you know, that me and my wife, we were facing a lot of hard times. Man, I'm going to tell you, folks, it was difficult. It was hard. We seem to kind of caught a little break right now, but you know what? We still got a long road ahead of us. And it's not so hard right now, but it's a little bit easy. But we're still facing things. And I want you to relate to this because, you know, this is why I was led to this message tonight. And it made me think throughout my hard times and the hard times my wife was facing and the difficult times that we was facing. It made me think, what were the end results of these hard times? What were they? And I had to sit here and this part of my notes in this paragraph, and I had to think about it and what it did to me. Now, this is just me, what it did for me. I'm sure that, you know, each of us during our hard times, we come to a different conclusion what the hard times really did for you or I. But what it did for me, and I came to, I don't know if you want to call it a breaking point or revelation to me in my heart, or it just, I can't find the words, but I knew what happened that day when we was driving home from Sunday evening, you know, and that's when I just looked at her and I told her, I said, baby, I have to trust God. It's hard. It's difficult. I don't have the answers. I wonder why. How come? You know, and I mean, look, you know, we all go through it. But we was facing these hard times, and when I was facing these hard times, what it did for me, it helped me resolve to place it into my heart that God is the only one who can get me out of these hard times. I have to have faith in God, no matter how hard the hard times may seem. Bottom line, folks, I have to have faith in God to see me through these hard times, no matter how hard it may seem. And yes, look, I was thinking about this when writing this, and when we're faced with hard times, look, I will be the one to admit to you myself, it can confuse us. It can cause us to become rattled. Yes, it can even stress us out. And even it makes us ask the wrong questions, or even sometimes expect the wrong answers. And during these times, folks, like me, we end up asking questions upon questions upon questions. Now, if we are in hard times, and to me, it would make, and this is what I'm getting at, to me, it would make us seek answers instead of asking questions. We all should know during these hard times that you and I face the real answer to all the questions we ask is in Jesus. Bottom line. Lift up your head in hard times, folks, and look up to the Son of Man. So what kind of questions do hard times make you ask? What I would like for you to do tonight, I would like for you to think of one of the hardest times in your life. Think about one of the hardest times you had in your life. What questions did you ask during these hard times? What did you learn from those hard times? And did God help you? And did He give you hope in these hard times? Think about it. If you got your Bibles with you, we're going to be going to Luke chapter 21. I was going to read verses 5 through 36, but that was going to be a lot. So I'm just going to start off, I think, mainly the horn in on where I was led from this. And I'm going to start off at verse 20. Luke chapter 21, verse 20 through 36. I'm not sure if Lisa was going to post it for me. I forgot to let her know ahead of time. But, you know, again, we're going to be Luke 21, starting with verse 20, 36. And it says, "But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart, and let not those who are in country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of the nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's heart failing them from fear and the expectations of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see things happening, know the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. And watch therefore, praying always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we ask of you to be with us for a few little moments that we have here tonight, Father. Again, I was reminded as reading that passage and thinking about it this morning, you know, we're not sure that when the end will come, but I think, you know, to me, we're getting close, and we are seeing a lot of hard times throughout this world, and a lot of things is going on, and we need to be ready. We need to start thinking about the lost out there who doesn't know Jesus. Are we doing what we should be doing by trying to present, you know, salvation to them? Are we trying to show them Jesus? Are we trying to let them know, hey, hard times are here? We are facing hard times. You're going to be facing hard times. Hard times will come, and it's going to be in great perplexity that we just going to really just be overwhelmed by that. But we need to take comfort and assurance that without Christ, all hope is lost. But those who are in Christ, we have hope. Those of us who said yes, we have hope. Those of us who's even facing hard times, we know we have hope. We're looking for the blessed hope. So, Father, I ask you to be with those who are here tonight. Bless them, watch over them, take care of them. Love them and let them know that you love them very much. They could have been elsewhere. They could have went done their own little thing today, but they decided to take an hour out of their time to sit here to listen to this message. A lot of times the message is meant for me, but hopefully they get something out of it. You know, again, I'm just going to do whatever I can do. I'm going to try to remain faithful to you and try to do the best of my ability to do this every week. And then we're going to keep going as long as you want this thing to last. So we want to give you honor and glory, and we want to be pleasing to you in your eyes. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Like I said earlier, folks, this is the title of the message, Hard Times Brings Hope. Now, you know, if you back up and look at Luke 20, chapter 20, and then chapter 21, if you read through those chapters, it records several questions to Jesus as well as by a few by Jesus himself. You look at the dialogue between the two, there's questions thrown at him, and he's putting questions to them. Now, if you notice that some were asking him questions as a way to catch and condemn Jesus, they were trying to set him up. And some were asking him questions in order to understand the condemnation that Jesus spoke against the temple and all the buildings. Oh, that kind of chapped their hide when he condemned them for what fixing to happen. They didn't like that. So we're going to set this dude up. We're going to throw some questions back at him. But finally, if you read through the dialogue of this, finally Jesus, he issued a question that points us to his identity. And in a sense, basically we're saying hard times was coming for Jesus. Well, guess what? Just as hard times came to him, hard times will come to us. Hard times came for Jerusalem, and eventually it will again happen to all of us. So it happened back then, it's going to happen again to us. And when those hard times come, my friends, what do we do? What do we do? Where do we go? Who do we seek answers from? We all know in this passage, we all know what's going on during that time when all this was happening. It was the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And the Passover feast was just a few hours away. So if you really hone in on this, it's getting close to Jesus' crucifixion when he's going to be nailed to the cross. You see, crowds have already come to Jerusalem to celebrate. There's excitement in the air. A new voice is heard in the temple courts, challenging, basically what they're hearing, they heard a new voice challenging the status quo and confronting the religious leaders, which, by the way, is the Jewish leadership as far as many concerned. All other powers, such as the Roman authorities and foreign occupants, hated and unwanted, did not like it. But all these Jewish people were hearing some voice challenging the status quo of those religious leaders. And when Jesus mentioned all this, he said these hard times. And when he said these hard times were coming, and when he pointed them out what was fixing to happen, it brought many Jews to their knees. See, the prayers of the Jewish people day in and day out was, and back then was, for God to deliver them and restore the fortunes of Israel. That's what their prayers was. We are waiting for a Messiah. We are waiting for a Messiah to restore us back to our former glory. And yet many of them did not realize he was standing right there before him. But it was yet not his time to be what they thought they were praying for. See, they really did hope that when the Messiah came, he will end up being the new David. But let me tell you, folks, he is coming back again. And that's when it's going to happen. They were suspecting it back then. But no, Jesus had to came to pave the way for us, to point us to the cross, to pay for our sins, to give us a way out, because yet, folks, it will happen. Jesus will come back as Lord of Lords, rulers, King of Kings, you name it. That's when he's going to come back. But see, those so-called Jewish leaders back then, and those who are still acting that way today, oh, they're in for a rude awakening, because again, when that Messiah or Jesus Christ himself comes, he is not going to be what they expect him to be. See, Jesus is going to be coming back in judgment. And judgment will be against them, and it will be against all Gentiles also. So hard times are coming, folks. Hard times are coming. But back then, see, they, in reality, they thought that God would fight alone the Messiah or Christ and bring all nations around them to their knees so that Israel itself would rise to be the greatest nation in the world and all others will bow down to him. See, that's what they were thinking. But see, Jesus clearly laid out the hard times that was fixing to come. See, this hope, folks, rose and fell as the years went by, but it did not die. It was this high hope that carried them through the hard days. And Jesus himself speaks of this when he says in Luke chapter 18, verse 7 through 8, this is what Jesus said, Luke chapter 18, verse 7 through 8. And here's what he said, "Now shall not God bring about justice for his elect, who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them speedily. However," and notice when he says, "however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Whoa, that's kind of a hard saying right there, isn't it? So in light of this, and what they were going through and what we're facing and what they're fixing to face. What do hard times bring? What does hard time brings? Well, to me, in this message, we're going to cover what hard times may do. The first thing that hard times does is hard times can produce hard hearts and false hopes. Hard times can produce hardened hearts and false hope. You see, the expectation they held didn't look like Jesus. Their hopes were tied to God's deliverance in ways that left Jesus out of the picture. In fact, their expectations actually caused many of them to see Jesus as a threat. Whoo! Look at it. Read through those passages. Read through all of the Gospels. You see, many of them saw Jesus as a threat. He was muscling in on their territory, so to speak. And seeing the greatest problem of the times back then was not the hardship from the Romans, but unfaithfulness to God. But if you have asked back then a typical man or woman in Israel, if you would have asked them back then, what is the biggest challenge facing you today? See, I forgot, I think his name is Ray Comfort. I like how he does things when he goes on the streets in California and he poses questions to people. If you die, do you know if you're going to heaven? Do you know Jesus Christ? See, and those people start to think. So if you was to go back and ask them, what is the biggest challenge facing you today? And here's what you most likely will hear, something that kind of sounds like this. Or you might hear the answer be like this. Well, it's the economy. Good jobs are scarce and prices are so ridiculous. It's terrorism. It's the liberal political influence that wants to tax us to death and give everything that we hold dear away. It's the conservative loudmouths who make people angry and stir up trouble and drag us into war. Does this sound like what we're facing in today's times? Think about that one. It seems to be the same thing happening now as it was back then. I didn't think about that really until I started looking at this message. Like, wow, sure enough. Everything they would have said, what I just said back then, is the same thing going on now. And yet many people are looking to some other Messiah. The second thing that hard times does is hard times reveal who we are and test our mettle. Now, if you're like me and reading through the entire Bible, I'm pretty sure, I'm not trying to brag, but I'm pretty sure all of us does. If you read through the entire Bible, do you notice something? Now, you're probably kind of sitting there thinking, well, Jim, I notice a lot. I'm not sure what you're getting at. Well, I'm just asking you. Do you notice something? Again, as I said, I'm not sure about you. But do you know what the most amazing thing to me is when reading through the entire Bible? Just as a casual reading of the Bible shows us that times have certainly changed. That's right. But people and struggles that we face and the ways we face them are still the same. Next time you start your reading plan, you go through the entire Bible, look at it. Look what they were going through. Look for what many were dealing with. And look at today's times. Same thing. Same thing. And yet many people still hold out expectations and false hopes that bind them or blind them from Jesus. When many are going through such hard times, they are looking for expectations and false hope elsewhere other than Jesus. They are blinded to him. And others still have pressing questions for Jesus that he simply doesn't feel obligated to answer. But what Jesus does tell them or tells us is exactly what we need to accept and follow him through whatever we must face. When you read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you're facing such difficulties, you are facing such hard times, folks, the real answer is we must follow Jesus and follow him through whatever you and I must face. He went through it back then. We're going through it today. We're not exempt. Keep that in mind. The third thing that hard times does is hard times turns some away from Jesus, but others turn to him. If you look in chapter 20, folks, we see an attempt to put Jesus really on the hot seat. That's what's going on. They were trying to put him on the hot seat. The religious powers attempted to catch him in a trap of words. They come to him with questions, assuming that he is false. Oh, he's not the real deal. He's not it. We're going to trap him. Now, I paused right there, and I thought about that, and looking at those passages, how they were trying to set him up. And I thought about this. Does that sound familiar today? When you and I, born-again believers, are trying to witness to people out there in the world, they still don't believe Jesus is the real deal. And they try to trap us, question us, redirect us, attack us on something they do not know of. Does that sound familiar? But in this case, my friends, Jesus has gained a popular vote. Oh, he had followers, man. People were following him left and right. And those so-called religious leaders back then, they knew it. And I thought about that, you know, when people, what I'm seeing today, are preaching the real truth. When they are preaching the real truth, according to scriptures, you got a small following, you don't have a large following. Because when you start speaking the truth, they don't want to hear that, and they leave. They leave the church. Or they get away from you whenever you're talking to them. And they end up chasing these big super mega churches. These feel-good churches, this prosperity churches, this extraordinary faith-healing churches, and this and that. But man, when you preach the truth, you're not getting the popular vote. The people that's getting the popular vote are the ones that's misleading people from Jesus. But see, they were afraid of that. And these so-called big super churches, these super ministers or whatever, they know this too today. And they can't stand it when they start seeing their numbers go down because they focused on money rather than people's salvation. And what that happened back then, when those religious leaders saw that, it only makes him more dangerous in their minds. So those people today that's preaching all this feel-good junk only makes the truth more dangerous in their minds, and they can't stand it. And back then, they were saying to themselves, this nobody from Nazareth must be stopped. Oh, they flattered Jesus with their introductions, but then they seek to snare him in their questions. If you read throughout Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, all of them record this. They record what they're trying to do. These opponents of Jesus are not simply trying to discredit him. In fact, folks, what they're wanting to do, they want to kill him. These are the men with power and positions, but they have a wrong vision. Well, those so-called ministers out there today, when people are facing hard times, they want to pacify them. They want to make them feel good. Because their problem is they also have a wrong vision. They don't want to believe in speaking the truth. Yes, we must try to present the truth in love. But I'm not going to mislead you to have you believing in a false hope. I'm going to tell you the truth. So they had all the wrong visions, and all those people were just messed up, and they plotted to kill them. So when we think about, well, who are they? Basically, they are the religious leaders of the people of God. That's what they were supposed to be. They have been given a responsibility to uphold the honor of God and God, the nation of Israel, in the ways, in the will, and the word of God. But see, Jesus himself says, they sit in the seat of Moses, but they were not doing what Moses did, nor saying what Moses said. Jesus said that they put heavy burdens on men, but do not so much as lift a finger to help them. Wow. You see, me and my friend were talking this morning, and whenever people are facing hard times, and a lot of times when we tell them what Jesus is saying, they have a hard time and say, well, you know, that's a hard saying. I can't deal with that. I actually came here to look for something that would make me feel okay. I wish we could make you feel okay when you're facing hard times, but you can't. I will lift a finger to try to help you, but I'm trying to help you understand scripturally how to get through the hard times, and yet you may have to face them. You may have to endure them. You may have to go through that season. But see, I like what Jesus did back then, and this is why, again, we must do the same. See, we see what Jesus told them. He actually called them blind guides. He called them hypocrites, brood of vipers, and many other unpleasant things. Folks, Jesus did not hold nothing back. So now, here we got this big event going on, and he was pointing out the hard times that's fixing to come. So now all these people heard Jesus really cut them down. Now they are thinking in their minds, okay, well, who is this Jesus? Oh, but here's the big one right here. They are thinking, well, where does he get the right to say such things? What they failed to see, he is God's son. And he is only speaking the words God gave him to speak. So when God sends them his own son, what do they do? How do they treat him? Why can they not see who he is? What is it that's blinded their minds and closed their hearts so that they cannot recognize the very presence of God at his visitation to them? Did Jesus not do signs and miracles? Did Jesus not speak the truth of God and keep the law of God? Did Jesus not fulfill the prophecies written about him in scriptures? Yes. Yes, he did all those things. But Jesus wasn't what they expected. In today's times, when people are facing hard times, when you tell them that Jesus is the only answer, well, to them and to the people today, Jesus wasn't what they are expecting. Like them back then, people today reject him. And people back then plotted his death. We're seeing some trending things changes today. Christians are being put to death. See similarities, what's going on? And just as Jesus leaves the temple, he tells the disciples, and this is the fact, he tells them that not one stone will be left on another here. It will be destroyed. And folks, hard times are at the door. Hard times are at the door. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. When you are faced with hard times, listen to what Jesus said to do. And here Jesus tells us how to handle the hardest times of all. Fix all our hopes on him. Fix all of our hopes on him. Look up to Jesus when you are facing hard times. Fix all your hopes on him. And chapter 21 of Luke is very similar to chapter 24 of Matthew and very similar to Mark chapter 13. This is Jesus' prophecy of the end. These words are Jesus' response to three questions asked by his disciples after Jesus said that not one stone would be left on another of all the huge buildings within Jerusalem, particularly around the temple itself. And Jesus' disciples ask him, well, when will these things happen? What will be the sign that these things are about to be accomplished? What will be the sign of your coming and the close of the age? The words of Jesus that follow, my friends, are not easy. They're not. Instead of telling them details that they wanted to know, listen to what Jesus did. Jesus gives them a list of instructions that they needed to know so that they can hold on and have true hope through the hardest times in their lives, and even give us hope through the hardest times in our lives. Now here's a handful of helpful, what I call directives, to heed and to hold on to when you and I are facing hard times that we can learn from chapter 21, verses 5 through 6. This is what we can learn from this chapter. So whenever you're facing hard times, folks, this is what you can do. One, do not be deceived by false hope. Do not be afraid of worldly troubles. Second thing, do not worry about what to say, but speak what is given to you when the opportunity arises. Third, don't close your eyes to what's happening around you. Get out of Jerusalem if you got to, or what I call AKA, get out of Dodge when the times come. There's never a time to deny Christ, but there are sometimes is a time to flee and escape danger. For when everyone else is scared to death about disasters and wars that's going on in this world, folks, lift up your heads. Look forward towards your redemption that is drawing near. Fifth thing for you, and I see this happen to many today. Don't get caught up in dispensation, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Don't get caught up in that. Be caught up in heavenly things. Be focused on heavenly things. Be focused on our Lord and Savior. Watch and pray so that you will be able to stand before the Son of Man. And that's serious. That's serious. Watch and pray that you and I, my friends, will be able to stand before Jesus. Okay, Jim, so the main message for us tonight is, and this is what I really want you to be focused on, the main message for us tonight is to meet hard times with hopes in Jesus. Look what Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 through 5 says. Isaiah 43, 1 through 5. Look what it says. And when through fury trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flames shall not harm thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. When through the deep waters I cause you to go, the rivers of sorrow shall not overflow. For I will bless with thee thy troubles to bless, and sanctify to thee thy deepest distress. I like that. And also remember Stephen. Y'all, how many people actually kind of think about him from time to time? The first martyr. The first martyr. However you want to pronounce it. See, when he defended the gospel and condemned the unbelief of the high courts of the Jews, what did they do? They dragged him out and stoned him to death. Luke records this for us in Acts chapter 7, verses 55 through 59, which I will read. But look, he stood up. He defended. And yet he was put to death. Sounds familiar again today? Sounds familiar? But starting in Acts chapter 7, verse 55 says, being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, behold, I see the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears, and they rushed upon him with one impulse. And when they had driven him out the city, they began stoning him. And the witness laid aside their robes at the feet of the young man named Saul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. In verse 60, and falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. I want you to remember something tonight, friends. When faced with hard times, difficult times, never-ending troubles, difficulties, ups and downs. I want you to know one thing. We can't always control what happens to us. We can't. Some people have that illusion. I got all things under control. Really? Then tell me your secret, please. I smile and chuckle when I hear people say that. Oh, I got all things under control, Brother Jim. Everything's hunky-dory. Please, again, tell me your secret. But like I said, friends, we can't always control what happens to us, but we can always control how you and I choose to respond. We can choose how to respond. And in these moments, when I choose to stop complaining and instead give thanks to God for the good in my life, the parts that seem bad starts to me, the parts that seem bad starts to seem less significant. They start to fade away. They're really not that bad as I thought they really were. Not when I start looking around. Not when I see what's going on around me. The bad that's happened to me really becomes insignificant. So I encourage you tonight. I encourage you, or anyone else who may listen to this message, because I do upload them to a site now. And if you are listening to this message of anything, of all things that you can get out of this message, do this. You choose to keep a positive attitude and a thankful heart, regardless of what you're going through. And when we and you and I are facing hard times, and things really seem to get to their worst point, what shall we do? What shall we do? Look up. Look up. Open your eyes and look for the Son of Man who is coming for you. And remember this most of all. I got this, I think, from Corey Ten Boom. But remember this most of all. God is not on trial during our trials. We are. God is not on trial during our trials. We are. He uses hard times to put our faith to the test. Because I said this a lot, probably you heard me say this, and I say this a lot to me, and I say this a lot to many of my other friends, folks. Faith that is not tested is not faith at all. Amen.